In June 1999, after NATO's Yugoslav War, a Security Council resolution established the UN's administration of Kosovo by removing the province from Serbian control. It's the most ambitious nation-building effort in UN history. 4 years later, results in Kosovo are mixed. NPR's Silvio Poggioli reports.
New construction projects are everywhere. Communist-era high-rise apartment blocks are now flanked by shiny, glass-paneled office buildings. The city's pre-war population of 150,000 has soared to nearly 600,000. And Kosovo Albanians are rediscovering their roots, including their distant Christian past. There's a huge new monument to the national hero of all Albanians, Gjergj Kastrioti Skanderbeg, the 15th century Christian warrior who fought against the Ottoman Turks. The bronze figure on horseback stands on newly named Mother Teresa Street. This is the heart of Pristina. Traffic is heavy with red and white UN police patrols. The UN presence in Kosovo is very high profile. Some critics say it has created a culture of dependency. But Berat, an 18-year-old Kosovo Albanian, is happy the internationals are here.
Without the help from the international, we cannot do nothing.
The open-ended UN mission in Kosovo, known as UNMIC, has nearly unlimited powers, and it's flanked by 30,000 NATO peacekeeping troops. For the last year and a half, an elected Kosovo parliament and coalition executive have been granted minor governing powers. But Ardian Gjini, advisor to the Kosovo prime minister, complains that UNMIC refuses to grant real decision-making powers to Kosovars in the crucial fields of the economy, judiciary, police, legislation and the budget.
We hear expressions like competence to competent people, which we feel is insulting. We don't like it at all because democracy belongs to the people, whether they be competent or not.
UNMIC officials insist that governing powers must be handed over gradually, and they've set several benchmarks for the realization of a functioning society: fighting organized crime, rule of law, respect of human rights, market economy, and the return of refugees. But 4 years after the UN arrived in Kosovo, little has been achieved in these fields. A new criminal code still languishes in draft form. A recent Amnesty International report asserts that Serb and Roma minorities live as prisoners in their own homes. Unemployment in Kosovo is over 50%. There are hardly any foreign investments. And Barry Fletcher, spokesman for the UN police, says Kosovo has a serious affliction that could endanger the rest of Europe.
This isn't really a society with an organized crime problem. In many ways, this is a society that's based on organized crime.
Fletcher says Kosovo is still a smuggler's transit point for gasoline, cigarettes, people, prostitutes, drugs, and weapons. On this issue, as on nearly everything else, UNMIC and local politicians are engaged in a mutual blame game. International officials claim that Kosovo authorities are unable to fulfill even their limited responsibilities, citing the statistic that 95% of businesses don't pay taxes. Local politicians, on the other hand, accuse some UN officials of dragging out their mission because of the perks and high pay they receive, and of keeping the local population too much on the political sidelines. Vetin Suroy, editor of the leading Kosovo newspaper Kohaditore, fears that politicians' frustration with the slow-moving UN machine could undermine Kosovo's democratization process.
What I would mostly fear from is actually the feeling of frustration and disassociation with the political process. People seeing it as a futile effort. Why do we need a parliament? Why do we need a government?
But UNMIC chief Michael Steiner rejects accusations that he doesn't have a long-term strategy.
The more Kosovo functions, the easier it will be to solve the last outstanding question, which is the status question.
Kosovo's final status was the original cause of the war. It's the reason why the internationals are here, and it remains the hardest problem to solve. Kosovo Albanians, the overwhelming majority of the population, are impatiently demanding independence. The dwindling number of Serbs, strongly supported by Belgrade, insist Kosovo must remain part of Serbia. Many in the international community fear that either solution could again trigger instability in the Balkans. Silvia Poggioli, NPR News, Pristina.